title of my message is going to go something like this. You know, whatever kind of bee you're going to be, the best is to be a doobie. Okay, so let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, as we look into your word this morning, I pray that you would draw near yet that much more by your Holy Spirit. God, that we would hear your voice speaking to us. God, that you would somehow so unravel our lives by your word this morning that, God, you'd get to us. In getting to us, God, you would so transform our lives afresh. In Christ's name I pray, amen. So that's my prayer, that God would get to us this morning. Okay, so I'd like us, as I promised, to look at some things from the Good Samaritan. So that's in Luke chapter 10. As you're going there, when I was a kid, they didn't have, let's see, did they, I don't know, what are kid shows they have today? Is Barney still around?
No.
Thank God he's gone. But whatever it is, but back in the day, all right, back in the day, there was a TV program. Anybody remember Romper Room?
Yeah.
Look at that. Wow, Romper Room. Well, I mean, it ended in 94, but it started in the 50s, okay? Yeah, it started in the 50s. And around, I didn't like it all that much, Romper Room, but I watched it once in a while. And the host was, I still remember her name, Miss Diane. And I remember Miss Diane, and in particular, I would remember Mr. Doobie.
Oh.
Nobody remembers that. Anybody? Yes, here, some of you remember Mr. Doobie. And he was a recurring character, Mr. Doobie. And he was an oversized puppet that she would use, you know, and talking to the kids. And she would use Mr. Doobie to teach the kids on how to behave, on how to have good manners, how to behave and to be good for their parents. And she would often say things like this, you know, using Doobie as an imperative. In a sentence, she would say something like, "Do be good, boys and girls," and this is, you know, especially, "Do be good to your parents, minding your manners and minding what they say to you." And there was also, and I don't remember him for some reason, I don't remember the Mr. Don't Be. I don't remember. I probably blocked him out of my mind, but to show the kids, you know, this is how you don't want to act like this. So, Mr. Doobie, I'd like to look at our text today, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Who doesn't know about the parable of the Good Samaritan? But I want you to pay close attention, okay, this morning as we go through this, if you will, and follow me here, okay? And I would just like to read a couple of verses and then stop. I don't want to read the story. I want you to stick with me, okay? But just let's read the context, the setting of how this happened that Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. It says in verse 25 of chapter 10, it says, "On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus." And so we got this guy who really knows the word. Really knows his stuff. He's a professional religious guy, and he knows what he's talking about. And he's testing Jesus to see, you know, what. Let's see what Jesus knows here, type of thing. And he says, and he asks a question. He says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, notice the "do" in the sentence. Dia. He says, "What do I do?" Now, when Jesus answers, he doesn't, you know, answer in such a way as to come around with this guy, you know, sensing that, you know, hey, something might be underhanded here. The guy's doing this to test me. Jesus is not sarcastic. He gets right at it head on. Okay? And he answers the question. He says, I like this. He answers the question with a question. I mean, Jesus is a good Jew. You know what I'm saying? He answers the question with a question. And he says, what's written in the law? This guy, being an expert in the law, Jesus puts him on the ground that he's familiar with. So what's it written in the law? And this guy says, this is how I read it. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And he says, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says to him, right on. Right on. He says, you've answered correctly. He says, in fact, do this. Notice the word again, what? Do. Do this and you will what? Live. The question is, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, do this and you will live. Do this, you will have eternal life. Now drop down to the end of the story. All right? Drop down to the end of the story in verse 37. And Jesus says, in verse 36, Jesus asks the question again after he tells the story, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Back up at verse 29, after Jesus said, do this and live, it says to us that he then asked a question to justify himself, to help get himself off the hook or to make himself look good. Who is my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? Jesus tells a story, and then he says, which of the three? And the expert in the law replies, the one who had mercy on him. And then Jesus says, once again, the third time, he says, what? Go and what? Go and do. Go and do. Go and do this. And so, here we have it. This is where we've been in the last couple of Sundays, is it not? Remember, if I were to ask you, where have we been the last two Sundays, what would you say?
We
got to go. Yeah, exactly. You know. And I know you all got it right there, ready to go. But we've been talking about this, right? From the wise man and foolish man built their house, and the kind of foundation that we ought to be occupying ourselves with to have a good foundation in our lives. One that we can build and our lives not fall apart is building it upon the word, meaning what? Meaning what? That we put it into what? Practice, right? We put it into practice. And remembering, I guess we can sum up what we've been talking about from what Mark Twain said. Remember what he said? He said, it's not those parts of the Bible that I don't understand that give me the most problems, but it's the parts I do understand. And I've added the parts that I do understand and not put into practice. And so, in other words, there's enough in this book that we do understand to give us a lot of time, right, to put into practice. We know we got to put into practice. And so we're pretty much following in the same vein here of what we've been talking about. Now let me read the rest of the story, okay? And I'd like to read it from the Message Bible. All right, he says, just then a religious scholar stood up with a question to test Jesus. He said, teacher, what do I need to do to get eternal life? And Jesus answered, what's written in God's law? How do you interpret it? And this guy says, once again, to love the Lord your God with all your passion, prayer, muscle, and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as well as you do yourself. Good answer. Do it and you'll live, Jesus said. Looking for a loophole, I like the way Peterson puts it, looking for a loophole, the guy says. Now, here's a guy, you know, the NIV says justify himself. It's the kind of thing where He's saying this because, you know what? I got this. I know it, I answered right, and I got this. Who's my neighbor? And Jesus answered by telling a story. I love this. How much of the Bible is story? Stories really get to us, don't they? And Jesus tells this story, guess what? To get to us. And so he says, there was once a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And on the way, he was attacked by robbers. They took his clothes, beat him up, and went off, leaving him half dead. This guy was bleeding all over the place. It says, luckily, a priest was on his way down the same road. But when he saw him, that is the guy laying in the ditch, bleeding. Now you gotta really see that. When he saw him, he angled across to the other side. The NIV, I think, says he passed by on the other side. When he saw him, the priest, he passed by on the other side. And then it says, then a Levite religious man showed up. He was also traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And the same thing, it says he avoided the injured man. Once again, the NIV says he also passed by on the other side. And then it says a Samaritan traveling the road came on. Now, here's the thing. The guy in the ditch was a Jew. And this guy coming now was a Samaritan. And what we know about the Samaritans and the Jews is that they were like this. They didn't like each other. You got your side of the town, we got our side of the town, and best that we never meet. That's how it was. Now, I don't mean to make a lot of analogies. I think you know where we're at. But that's how it was with Jews and Samaritans. And so this guy, who's a Samaritan, the most unlikely of characters to do what he's about to do. And you got to think about it with me. Now you know the story, so you know where we're going here. But if anyone was knowing that they ought to help, or a moral obligation to help, it would have been the priest and the religious guy. Right or wrong? If anyone knew and had a moral obligation because they knew, and they knew by reason of who they were in their profession, let alone relationally, the brother, fellow Jew, my brother. For all they know, he could have lived in the same neighborhood as one of those guys. And they passed on by. And then it says, a Samaritan, and Jesus is masterful, most unlikely of characters, a person who you would have thought would have been ready to pass by on the other side because it's, you know, don't see him. Pull a Schulte here. I see nothing, I hear nothing, right? And off you go. Because of the contention, the bad blood that existed between these people. But it says, when he saw the man's condition, I love it. The others, for whatever reasons they were blinded by, and there's so many of them, and I don't want to get into it. They had places to go, people to see. They had justification. Perhaps they thought they had justification to pass by on the other street. Well, he got what he deserved, I'm sure. Look at who it is. Maybe that type of thing. Justification to walk by on the other side of the street. Well, if they were living right, if he was living right, you know, he wouldn't be in that condition. Boy, wouldn't get a high. So many other excuses. And they were not able, but this guy, he saw the condition. And it says, I love the way Peterson puts this. His heart went out to him. There it is. His heart went out to him. I think the King James Version uses the wonderful word compassion. Compassion. The NIV gets it wrong here. It uses the word pity. I don't like that. Compassion. Peterson says, when he saw the guy in the condition that he was in, his heart went out to him. All the prejudice, all the bad blood, all of the conflict, the tension that was between the two races, he became blinded to all that because his heart went out to the guy seeing the condition that he was in. This was a good man. And it says, he gave him first aid. Now, he's given him something here. Disinfecting and bandaging his wound, and it says that he poured in oil and wine. Oil to be soothing, and the wine to be disinfecting. Bandaged him up. And then it says he lifted him onto his own donkey, inconveniencing himself all that much more. That's another reason. Maybe those other two guys, you know what? They just couldn't take the time. You know, so many people end up beaten up on this road. It was notorious, a notorious traveling road for people to get beat up, mugged. You know what? So many are laying here. They became what? Desensitized to the hurt. They just walked on by. Not this guy. He allowed himself to be inconvenienced by what was going on in someone else's life. Put him on his own donkey. And it says that going further, he brought him to a place where he could be cared for. And he did the caring. Wow. It says he brought him and he made him comfortable. Now, there's a lot of discomfort going on in this guy's life. More than likely a businessman, business dealings. So this guy has a schedule to keep, and you kind of get that feeling because it says, in the morning he took out 2 silver coins, gave them to the innkeeper, yet going the second, the third mile in helping this guy. Pay some money up front. And then he says, then I got to go. He says, but on my way back, anything more that requires of you to help this guy, put it on my tab, I'll take care of it. Take good care of it. And then Jesus asks another question to this guy who's asking him a question. Who's my neighbor? And he says, and what would you say? So here you have the three guys, priest, religious guy, and the Samaritan guy. Which one of those three guys was a neighbor to the guy living in the, or beat up and in the ditch? Which was a neighbor? Well, the answer is easy, isn't it? You don't have to be a doctor, right? Have a PhD. You don't have to be an expert in the word to know which one was a neighbor. He says, what do you think? Which of the three became a neighbor to the man attacked by robbers? And he says, the one who treated him kindly. Jesus said, what? Go and do the same. Wow. Wow. Now, let's try to say something. I think that we could easily say amen right now and stop and pray. Because the Bible, as we all know, has a unique way of preaching all by itself, right? Without me ever giving voice to what's going on here or commentary to what is being said here, boy, how can you not read that story and get the point? Feel the point? How can you not? I find myself engaged in this story, drawn into it, looking for an answer to the question. I'm intrigued and I want to draw up all kinds of scenarios. And before you know it, I'm in the story. And before you know it, I'm being told, go and do likewise. Go and show someone kindness who's in need of it. And so, now, let me just, as is my MO in preaching, say three things in particular, okay? First of all, what I want us to see is that the stakes are high. We're talking about eternal life. The stakes are high. Now, we've been talking about this. And one of the points we made, if we're going to review, remember, was not everyone gets to go to heaven. Not everyone does. It matters not, you know, that you're able to say, well, she lived a good life. Weren't they nice? And okay, if you get a pass, you're in heaven. No, not everyone gets to go to heaven. Now, this guy knew that when he came to Jesus. He knew enough of the word to know that eternal life comes with some kind of pass, some kind of ticket. Get in. So what do I got to do? Jesus said, what's it say? What does it say? And oh boy, this guy, something came over this guy because he answered in such a way that, ooh, now the stakes are high. And he related two of the most central commands that Jesus himself quoted him as well, and that the whole of the Bible speaks of. In another place, he tells us that all the law and the prophets, Jesus said, hang on those two commandments. Love God and love other people. The stakes are high. He said, boy, if you do that, but we have to ask ourselves, here's the rub. Well, how do I do that? Now, this guy thought that he was going to get off the hook. Oh, God, I answered smartly. God, that was my neighbor anyways. How do I put that into practice? Right? See, that's the idea. And Jesus tells us story of how to put it into practice. And so, what's going to keep us? What's going to keep me from walking by on the other side? Now, here's the thing here. To walk by on the other side is to put in jeopardy eternal life. What's going to keep me? And I want to say three things that keep me, these stakes that are high, from walking by on the other side. All right, here's the first one. You ready for the first one? Faith or believing. Okay. Faith, how big is faith? Can you read the Bible and not come in contact with faith? How big is faith? Faith, how big is believing? Faith is never faith until it's put into action. Now, I mention that because of a couple things. And you know, if we looked at the book of James last week. Remember where James says, hey, it's not, you know, it's one thing to listen to the word, and it's another thing to do what? Put it into practice. We talked about it. Well, James goes on further in talking about faith, and he says, and you can say you believe and you have large faith all you want. He goes so far as to say, demons believe. And where are they? Not in life eternal. He says, James says, if you say you have faith, this is what James says, I'm going to say I have faith as well, but I'm going to show you my faith by what? By putting it into action. By putting it into action. You see, those guys who walk by, now we're talking people of faith. I can well imagine Maybe the priest was coming from having just delivered a message, like I'm delivering a message to you this morning. And there was a lot of hoopla, a lot of shouting going out. And the religious guy just came from a tremendous Bible study, where, man, they were getting into the Word. I wouldn't doubt that they were even talking about faith and what it means to have faith. And then they walked by a guy laying in the ditch. They walked by. Because faith is nothing unless it works. See, faith works. I like what it says in Galatians. I think it is Galatians 5 and verse 6. It says, it actually says that. It says, faith works by love. Now, if you notice in this, in Peterson says that his heart went out to him. I like what the King James says here in that verse of Scripture. It says, when he saw him, it says this beautiful, wonderful word. It says, he had compassion. He had compassion on him. And that word compassion, let's just talk about it for a moment. Compassion is a word that means this. It means that compassion is the emotion that you feel in response to someone suffering. I'm going to take you further, but just listen to that. So, it's an emotion that I feel, compassion. Feel something here. And that guy was walking by, his heart was touched. There was something about those other two guys that prevented their heart from being touched. What calloused over that their hearts weren't able to be touched? I don't know. But this guy's heart was touched. And it says that there's a response. That's what compassion means. If someone else is suffering. And it's a response that motivates you with a desire to help. That's compassion. So it's not just seeing the need. You know, those other two guys, what they could have said was, you know what? I'm in a hurry right now. I'm going to take, let's see, where are we? We're at the corners of faith and hope. And oh yeah, he's in the ditch by the road, by the street that we call love. I'm going to make a note of that. When we get to where we're going, I get to where I'm going, I'm going to submit it to the proper authorities, and they're going to send help. Put it on to someone else. Let's put it on to someone else. But compassion says, oh no. Compassion says, my heart is with someone else's suffering, and it motivates me to do something about it. That's where this guy is at. That's the first thing. Faith is never faith. Oh, I got big faith. I got big faith. Oh, I believe. But what are you doing about it? You know, what are you doing with the faith? What am I doing with the faith that I say that I have? Where does it show up? Because it does show up somewhere. Faith. Here's the second one. You ready for it? Here's the second one. The second one I'll put like this. You'll catch on in a moment. You know, what does it take for me not to walk by on the other side? Give what you would want. If you found yourself in a ditch, beaten up, what would you want? What would you want then? For heaven's sake, I would want a good Samaritan to come by. Huh? No. But put yourself in that guy's condition. See, what would you want? See, this is going to keep me. You know, This is going to keep me from walking by on the other side. It sounds an awful lot like what? What's the rule? The golden rule. Do unto others. Yeah. Sounds a lot like the golden rule, right? Gee, who's my neighbor? Well, yeah. You know, and this will keep us from walking by on the other side. You know, give what you would want. I'll tell you, one of the things I don't want in my suffering, someone to try and give me comfort by telling me their story of suffering. Up to here. They mean well, you know? And so, you know, sometimes I think that's a legitimate form of offering comfort, hearing somebody else's story of suffering. But when they tell you and they don't take a breath, and you couldn't get a word in edgewise anyways, it's almost like saying, no, let me help you with your pain by telling you all about my pain. I don't get that. That isn't what I want. And there's something about, though, really suffering that helps us to give all that much more what we would want in a situation. And so here, that's the second one. You know, give what you would want. Found in the same kind of situation, what would you want to have done to you? Someone said to me one time, "Boy, wow, incredible. What can I do to help?" And I said, "Money would help." Money would help. All right, just joking. So,
but not really.
Yeah, not really. So, here's, and then the last one. And we highlighted this quite a bit, okay? We highlighted this. Here's the last one. Doing that's motivated by compassion. I want to unravel this a little bit further, okay? Here's the thing. What's going to keep me from passing by on the other side? What's going to keep me from passing by on the other side is that I have this motivation within me to help, but it's motivated by compassion. Motivated by compassion. Now, let's think of it this way for a moment. These two guys, now understand there's a third player in this, and that's the guy who asked the question that Jesus is addressing his comments to. And I would dare say that he looked an awful lot like the first two guys mentioned in the story that Jesus told. So Jesus is saying something to this guy. And if anybody knew the drill, it was this guy. He knew what should be done. He said it. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Did he have the mechanics of that word down or not? He had it down so much that when Jesus asked the question about inheriting eternal life, he didn't have to look it up. Wait one moment. I think I know where that is. Off the tip of his tongue, it rolled off. He had it down pat. But the mechanics of the law, having it down, is a poor motivator. No compassion is there, just the mechanics of it. No? Remember what Paul said in another place? Where is that? 1 Corinthians, he said, well, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest is what? Greatest is love. The greatest is love. And this guy was motivated. Jesus says this guy was motivated by compassion. Compassion. So many things can be said about this. It's doing not motivated by the mechanics of I have to. And so many people get caught up in it. This is what a Christian is. And if I were to ask you, what's a Christian? You know, how would you answer that question? You know? Say, well, you know what? We love God, and we got Jesus in our hearts, and we obey the commandments, and we got them, and all this other stuff about the Ten Commandments. And so many people are worried about, you know, taking, I know I'm going to offend some of you right now, taking the commandments out of the school and taking them out of public places and all of that means nothing. Because the greatest example of the commandments is demonstration from our hearts. Remove that, and boy, I'll tell you, then the culture's in deep doo-doo. But as long as there can be motivation from our hearts of the living commandment, where we are demonstrating, showing our love, there'll never be a question, never, of, boy, the culture's going to hell in a handbag because they're no longer teaching the commandments in school. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I refuse to believe it. Now, would I like to see it there? Absolutely. But I don't believe it. And it's, what do I want to say by this last one? What I want to say is this. Notice that the story is about relationship. Because he says to him, love. And then he says, love your neighbor. So that there's a connection there. There's something that's being felt there. And I think that's the great motivation that's going on here. And Jesus highlights it in such a beautiful way. That this guy laying in the ditch, I'm going to get my hands dirty. You know, this is going to cost me something. What forced him to do that? Was it because of law hanging over him? Well, you got to do this if you're going to be a good Christian. Well, his heart was in it. And I would say it like this. Because he really got the first one down, the second one came easy. That's all I would say. Because he got the first one down, the second one came easy. What's the first one? Boy, he was demonstrating that he loved God. And he showed it by how he loved his neighbor. Good Samaritan. So what do you think? What do you think? There's a big gulf between knowing and doing, right? Mm-hmm. There is. There's a Grand Canyon between knowing and doing, right? A Grand Canyon between them.
And then there's another space between doing and doing with the right motive.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, am I doing this because, you know, it's like, okay, the first guy could have stopped, and after he stopped and helped the guy, says, you know what, as soon as I get to where I'm going, I'm going to call my editor, my publisher, because I got a book to write. And then I'm going to call the local radio station to announce how I was just on my way, I found this guy. It's not about me, really, it's not about me, honest. It's not about me, but how I found this guy. I mean, where's the compassion in that? Exactly. I mean, where's the motivation? Jesus talks to us about that. But the point that he's making here is, do I walk by? Have I walked by? And what's motivating me? Okay. Let's stand together in the presence of Jesus. The Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. What's the gangster golden rule?
Before they.
What would you want done to you in a similar situation? Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we talk about these things, and God, here we are in your presence, and the Good Samaritan, and God, you know my heart. Go and do likewise. Go and do the same thing. How I need to hear that word this morning. How I need to hear it. And I pray, God, that you would give us opportunities this week. Lord, where we're driving down the road, where we're walking down the street, where we're in life and passing people by that are in genuine need of compassion, that you would arrest our attention, whatever we're involved with, whatever we're doing, that somehow, in some way, you'd cause us to look there and to have, Lord, to have our hearts go out to this one or that one who is in need. I pray you help us in that way. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.